Hey guys, it's Lauren.
And I'm Megan, and welcome back to the Scribe Squad Pod, a Fourth Wing book club.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Today we are starting chapter 7, and we're going to start the way we always do with Lauren's blurb. Well, Rebecca Yarris's blurb. I don't want to get copyrighted right at the beginning.
Here we are. There's actually two blurbs in chapter 7, so I'm going to read both of them. The first one says, in the best interest of preserving peace within Navarre, no more than 3 cadets carrying rebellion relics may be assigned to any squad of any quadrant. And that's addendum 5.2 Biscayeth War College Code of Conduct.
There's some code of conduct.
And then the second one says, in addition to last year's changes, marked ones assembling in groups of 3 or more will now be considered an act of seditious conspiracy and is hereby a capital offense. And that's addendum 5.3 Biscayeth War College Code of Conduct.
If this was a great code, it would have given us a date of the change.
Right.
So we would know more about when this was changed.
Know a little bit more, okay?
So this is getting into, I feel like the we're done with the introductions.
Oh, here we go.
Yes.
We're getting into it.
Potatoes.
We are getting into it. And this chapter 7 is one of my favorite chapters.
Yeah, I think too, because we just did the sparring.
Yes.
It's really fresh. If you guys, you know, didn't check out our deep dive, we did a lot of Violet sparring, and that's going to be the next few chapters. Mm-hmm. So, but if you want no spoilers, you can continue on with us this way.
Correct. So chapter 7 starts, and it's we're automatically introduced to Violet, and she's out in the woods. She's outside of the college. She's like, what I would assume sneaks out.
Yes.
And she's like gathering some things.
I get we're always referred to it like Harry Potter, but I picture it like the Whomping Willow.
Yes.
Like sneaking down to the lake. And so very much Harry
Same.
Potter in my mind.
Same.
So she is sneaking out, and she is, it's kind of cool because she's referencing, like, she's like climbing up the tree, and she's like, if I didn't know this tree so well because
right.
of my childhood.
Right, because again, she grew up here. She's been here the last 5 years, so she knows these grounds very well.
And I think it's just kind of cool to think about, like, a young Violet, climbing the tree, and she's in search of some supplies, and you don't know why she's looking for these supplies as of yet, but while she's in the tree looking for these supplies, she sees some things.
Yes. First, she hears something. She's like, oh, it's just a deer, like, not a big deal. And then she looks again, and she's like, oh, crap, these are people. These are people down here.
And you can already tell by the way that she's kind of coming out that you know that there's not supposed to be people out here.
Right.
So you're already set up kind of feeling like she's being sneaky and whoever this is being sneaky.
Exactly. Because they also have a curfew, right? So they can't go out after a certain time. So she's breaking curfew. But so are they.
So she sees Imogen, who just broke her arm, and Zayden, who we know wants to kill her.
Great combo.
Yes. So I can't imagine she's like, I feel like she's a trapped animal.
Yeah,
which
for sure.
Paints a really cool picture. She's up there, but she is going to, she can't hear them because of the sound of the river, which again, I think the by the water, there's a lot of similarities here.
I love Harry Potter.
But that kind of makes her feel good because she's like, oh, they probably can't hear me either.
Right, exactly. If I can't hear them, they can't hear me. So she's obviously wondering why they're here. And her mind automatically goes to, well, they must be lovers, Imogen and Zayden. And she feels a little self-conscious because she's like, well, is Imogen the type of girl that Zayden goes for? Like, that would make sense. She's super strong.
And
like,
we're like, Violet, why are you asking?
Violet, why do you care so much?
What kind of girl is Zayden's going to go for?
Oh, that is too funny. And then after a little bit, more riders start to arrive. And obviously, the anxiety is going up. Violet.
Very, again, no one really, I think, realized how important the blurbs were.
Exactly.
The first time, but you know, from the start of this chapter, you can't have more than 3 marked individuals. Mm-hmm. We know Zayden's marked. Mm-hmm. You know Imogen's marked. So then more riders coming on, and they are all marked.
Exactly. And she even internally says that. She says, marked ones are not allowed to gather in groups larger than three. And this says that they're technically committing a capital offense mm-hmm. by doing so.
And so she is like, does not jump to the fact that they are doing anything right. nefarious. She's like, oh, I really hope this is just something not harm, like that's
exactly.
just harmless. Because I think in that moment, Violet's smart enough to step back and say, this is not a rule that should be a blanket rule. Mm-hmm. This is a rule that should be utilized when people are doing bad things and we need to be able to like take them in for
right.
something.
Exactly.
But I don't know. This is the first, to me, like break from the normal expectation of someone who'd been raised in the Navarian ways.
Right, and I think, too, it speaks a lot to Violet's character in general because she's not automatic. It runs through her mind that this is wrong, but she's not automatically jumping to the conclusion that I need to tell on them or that assuming that they're automatically doing something bad.
Which most people do because
correct.
Their parents do.
Correct.
So it is, Violet always like trust her instincts and she is
yep.
often right.
Exactly. So she gets a little curious. She says that she sees a lot of first years there, a couple of second years and a couple of third years in this group of people. And she's automatically curious. So she like maneuvers herself to get a little bit closer so that she can hear what they're talking about.
She also at one point, she is like, should I tell Dane about this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, again, it kind of shows us their relationship, but also I think she knows that she can't tell Dane. Like, she just knows
yeah.
because she knows Dane's not going to have the grace she's going to have.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah, so then they, as she sneaks in a little bit.
Yeah, Zayden starts talking. She overhears Zayden talking. And so one of the first things that one of the writers says, and it's a first year, they're kind of freaked out, right? Because this is a new place for them. They're like, what if people catch us? And Zayden says, well, we've been doing this for the last 2 years and nobody has caught us yet. So I'll know if you guys tell. So like, don't tell anybody. And I'll know if you do because
yep.
we haven't been caught yet. But Zayden goes on to say that there are 41 rebellion kids in the Rider's Quadrant currently. And that includes first, second, and third years. Currently, he says that the odds are always stacked against them and every other Navarian will look for reasons to call them traitors or force them to fail. So he's kind of saying that they all really have to like stick together
mm-hmm.
in this because they're already slightly underestimated, but also people want to see them not do well in this environment.
And that like makes, so in this moment, you see there is, you know, as we go on, Zayden is like, he's the leader,
mm-hmm.
but he's also a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And those don't always come together.
Correct.
Like, Lilith Soaringale is a leader, but she was not a caregiver.
Right.
But he is both. And
right.
I think you see that in Violet, too. You see a leader, caregiver.
Right.
So Violet notices that, and she thinks it's admirable that
yeah.
he's, like, getting them all together.
She also says, she's like, it would be really nice if a high-ranking writer from her province cared as much about the people from her province, cared as much about if the people from her province lived or died.
Yeah.
So she's like, it's nice that somebody actually cares about your well-being.
Because they've made them so numb to death.
Exactly.
And Zayden's like, no, we're not dumb. We're not numb. We're going to stick together.
Exactly.
So being Papa Zayden that he is, little Daddy Zayden, he's like, hey, who's having a hard time with this?
Yeah.
And like almost everyone raises their hand. All the first years it is.
Yeah. Except for Liam.
Liam.
We love Liam.
Liam. And if you are reading along and this is the first time, just know that there are very few characters that I feel like you read and you just don't have anything bad to say about them. And Liam is just that character.
We love some Liam.
Yes, we do.
And, Violet says that Liam, everybody but Liam raised their hand, and she says that Liam is the best in their class. Like, he is excelling over everybody. He's won all of his challenge matches. He is the best rider of the first years currently.
So then kind of like the way that Rhee and Violet have been kind of sharing and helping with their strengths, you come to see that that's what's about to happen here.
Right.
Is they, these kids have been getting together and helping. Iron sharpens iron. So
right.
they have been sharpening that. And then it worried Zeta, and then like everyone was stressed right. out. So of course he's like, hey, we need more support.
And they're also like splitting up responsibilities between Garrick and Zayden and Imogen, just like all the more like quote unquote upperclassmen are splitting up who's going to do what and help with what to get these kids where they need to be.
Which is kind of funny because I feel like if you asked my college self to be like, hey, I know you're, you know, 21 and you, you know, would you help this 18-year-old? Yes, I would have. Like,
right.
I'm also a caregiver, but I wouldn't be like volunteering for 41 of them to be let's go help 41. Or I mean, I guess it's like a third of them. Like, let's go help 15 freshmen get through all of this.
Right, but, exactly.
Yeah, so then we get introduced to Liam, who's mm-hmm. a first year, second squad, tail section. He's already the top cadet in his first year. And he practically ran across the parapet, destroyed every opponent on assessment day.
He's just top notch.
He is.
He's top notch.
He is innately good.
He is innately good. And then we're also introduced to another new character, Garrick. He is flame section leader in Fourth Wing. So he is Violet's direct supervisor above Dane. So that tells you a lot about the situation as well, but it also tells you a lot about just the overall, like, how well, even though these are rebellion kids, they're still like, you have to be doing very well in the college in order to succeed and get a title.
Absolutely. So in the next moment, they're like still talking mm-hmm. and you hear this plea, and I say plea because you can see it in the writing, you can hear it in the audiobook. This kid is like, I want to go home.
Yeah.
Can you help me with that? Zayden, like, can you help me? Mm-hmm. And it's so sincere, but also so real mm-hmm. because if you go back and you realize, you put it in the perspective of like, they had to come here. They don't have a choice. And so that, I mean, such a heartbreaking moment when I read it again this time. Like, please, I just want to go home.
Yeah.
And then, so Zayden has to address that.
Yeah, Zayden basically says, you know, there is no more home. Like, we have to survive this. Like, if you don't work with us and train with us, you are going to die. And there is nowhere else that you can go. So you're either going to get your butt in line and do this and work hard, or you're going to be dead. Like, there are no other options.
And there's no pep talk that I could give you to make
right.
you, this change your mind. Like,
right. And I think
that's war. People die.
Yeah. And it's such a good, like, characteristic to have in a leader, because I know in some of my friendships, like, I kind of have to be that person that shoots straight with somebody because nobody else feels like they can. But at the end of the day, if people are just hearing what they want to hear, it's not helping them in the long run. And I think Zayden's really good about that.
Yeah. I recently have been saying the only way to get to it is through it, because sometimes you just have to say, like, you either move on or you don't.
Right.
And not moving on means staying stagnant, not training, and dying.
Yeah.
I mean, and dying.
That's the only other option. You will die. There's no way around that.
So one of the first year, they're saying, hey, we're having trouble with battle brief. We need help.
Right. And he says, it's not that they can't keep up, but the information. And Zayden cuts them off and says, you learn what they teach you, keep what you know, but recite what they tell you.
Such an important choice of words.
Yes.
So Violet realizes they're not doing anything wrong.
Right.
This is just a kind of camaraderie.
And they're
together.
Doing what Rhee and her are doing. They're
yes.
helping each other out. There's nothing wrong with that.
And, I mean, the only thing they've done wrong is had parents that had a mark become a mark.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly.
So, but if Dane knew, she realizes, if Dane knew, this is against the codex and he would not let it fly.
Yeah.
So I think that's like how she rationalizes that she's not going to tell anyone.
Right.
She knows that they haven't done.
Right.
So Violet's name comes up and her little ears perk up.
Da, da, da. So Imogen is, again, the one that hurt Violet in her first match. Someone mentions Violet and says, so when do we get to kill the Soaringale girl? And Imogen is like, yeah, when do we get our revenge? Like, what's going on here? Why are we waiting? And Zayden stops them immediately and says, the youngest Soaringale is mine, and I'll handle her when the time is right.
So the immediate reaction of Imogen is, Violet's mother is responsible for the execution of my mom and sister. I should have done more than just snap her shoulder.
And then Garrick immediately jumps in and says, yeah, her mom is responsible for the capture of nearly all of our parents, but not her daughter. Punishing children for the sins of their parents is the Navarre way, not the Tyrish.
Which I think is very telling of how they want the future to go.
Exactly.
Versus what has been done in the past.
Exactly.
And I think that that's very mature of a 20-year-old, but right. Imogen basically is like, we've had to pay for this for years. And it's what forced them into the death trap of this college, specifically the Rider's Quadrant.
Right. And Garrick, again, reiterates and rebuts with, well, in case you didn't notice, she's in the same death sentence of the college. It seems like she's already suffering the same fate.
So Zayden jumps in, and it was also like, hey, don't forget, her brother is Brennan Soringale, which is, the way he says it, it's like a celebrity to me. Like,
right.
you guys know, like, there's certain names when they're mentioned, it's just like, hey, but the way he doesn't give any context, he doesn't have to explain to anyone, and you have to know that his name is known everywhere.
Right.
Because they don't say,
right.
And we, you know,
and
he just says that's her brother. And so she also probably hates us.
Right. Because Brennan died during the rebellion. So not only did she lose her brother, but then all this happened. So yeah, she's got just as much reason to hate us too.
Yep. So then after that, they all disperse.
Yes.
And Violet gets away, goes home, tucks into bed, and everything's so good. Oh, wait.
Just kidding. That is absolutely not what happens. So Violet says that she waits for a little while because she wants to make sure everybody's gone. So she sits as still as possible, so much so that her legs and her arms start like cramping. Mm-hmm. But she counts to 500 and she looks around and she is like, okay, the coast is clear. So she comes down from the tree.
So as she starts to get down the tree, a shadow lunges behind her. She tries to scream, but is pinned against the tree with an elbow around her neck. So, any guesses of who this might be?
It's our boy.
Yeah. It's Aiden.
So, this is also when she realizes what his signet is. Mm-hmm. So, Zayden's signet is that he commands shadows. So, you learn a lot about it in the next couple of pages in the chapter, but his shadows are essentially like an extra limb mm-hmm. of him. So, he can do whatever that he could do with his hands with his shadows. Which
and
is cool.
Yes, and there's some times in the future it'll come up that you really get to see it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so she says, she asks him, she's like, how did you know I was here? Mm-hmm. And he says he commands shadows. So anywhere touched by the shadows, he's going to know about.
Right.
That's, and in that moment, you also realize though, like I paused and I'm like, did he know the whole time?
I know. That's exactly what I said when I first read this. I was like, did he know the whole time?
So part of, and I think that's what he, like, I'm going to say he did. And
yeah.
I think he wanted her to see this. I think he wanted her to see these people and what they go through.
Right.
Because there's.
And make them feel like real people.
Yeah.
Because they are. They're real people who have real problems. And
the same way they leveled Violet to be a real person.
Exactly.
They were leveling both sides of this playing field.
Exactly.
They're not just the history books. They are real, moving, future people.
Right. And Violet also mentions a little bit about shadow wielding in general. And she says, no wonder he's risen to such a high rank, because shadow wielders are incredibly rare and highly coveted in battle. They're able to disorient entire drifts of Gryphons, if not take them down, depending on how powerful the signet is. So he is, no wonder, obviously, he is a wing leader, but also he's like really good on the mats. He's presumably a great rider, but he also has one of the best signets out there and
yeah.
the rarest signets out there.
So she's very confrontational. So she pulls out a knife and she's like, is this how you're going to handle me?
Like,
go
is
ahead.
This it? Come
just
on. I'm ready for this.
Thing. So she, you know, she's the second dagger and she's like planning to throw if he rushes her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically like, calm down.
Chill.
You know,
it's okay.
It's fine. I've not run at you, but I understand why. But this
right.
is the first time they've truly been alone.
Right. And had like an actual conversation.
Uh-huh. So he laughs and
he basically makes fun of her because he's like, is that how you're going to try and charge somebody? Because that's a terrible fighting stance. Like, you got to get better.
No wonder Imogen just snapped your arm. And, you know, a little insult to injury.
Right.
And she's like, I'm more dangerous than you might think.
Ooh. Her girl.
Violet flips the dagger in her hand and then they fly past his head.
Yeah, they, like, go right past him. They do go into the tree, though. So they're, like, in the tree trunk, but it's nowhere near him, basically.
So she said that, and I apologize. I got caught up by the fact that one of the bullet points was a square, not a circle, and it really caught me off guard.
ADHD, here we are.
ADHD. Don't ask me to remember names, but expect me to point out one bullet point being different. Yeah, so they fly past his head, and
he's like, you missed.
She's like, did I?
Did I? Because I might have been doing that a lot.
I know. I think that I want to know if she was aiming for this
right,
side.
Exactly. So Zayden points out, he says, you know, you may look frail and breakable, but you're really violent. And he uses his shadows and he takes the daggers out of the tree and puts them in his hand. And Violet, that immediately scares Violet because she notices that his power could kill her without him even having to do so much as lift a finger.
But it didn't just scare her. She was like taking a little moment to like really appreciate how beautiful he was. She's like, I love the way he pulled those daggers out and with his most powerful segment of anyone I've ever really seen.
She's like mesmerized by this.
I mean, honestly,
presumable
power
murderer.
Attractive thing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I definitely get it. And I think at this moment, he could have killed her already. So
100%.
She's got to be letting down her walls.
100%. Yeah.
So, yeah, she does appreciate him. And then Zayden says to Violet that she should throw a dagger to show the dagger trick to Jack Barlow.
Barlow.
Barlow. I always want to add a T into it.
I know.
Which is interesting because he's like, face your problem head
right.
on, where at, you know, it's going to point this out, like, Dane has been, like, run away, literally run away.
And she specifically, like, thinks that, too, because he says, yeah, you should give him, basically let him know that you're not scared of him, essentially. And she says later on throughout the chapter, she was like, it's interesting how this is totally the opposite of what Dane told me to do in regard to Jack.
So, they're both kind of confrontational. So it's like, are you going to tell anyone?
Yeah. Are you going to tell anybody about what you saw here about my little club? And Violet immediately says, no, I'm not going to tell. And I think Zayden is like almost taken aback because he's like, well, why? It's illegal for the children of separatist officers to assemble in groups larger than three. And she was like, yeah, I know. I've lived here a lot longer than you have. Like, get out of here, sir.
Yeah. And so... I just laugh because I'm like, I imagine being terrified 30 seconds later and then being like, yeah, I actually, not only have I lived here longer, but everyone has to know Violet knows all of the code.
Exactly.
Like, that has to have gotten kind of
right.
around. So, of course, she doesn't answer with, you know, no.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's
Whoa.
Like, absolutely not, in your face.
Right, exactly.
I definitely have known that. So Violet says that Zayden was, she was helping them. Like,
yeah.
Right? She was leading them and she doesn't see why it should be punished. It wouldn't be fair to him or any of the other ones.
Right, exactly. She was like, should it be, she says, is it illegal? Yes. But should they die for it? Absolutely not. She says that that's what would happen if she tells, and the first years would be executed for nothing more than asking for tutoring, and the seniors would face the same for just helping. So again, she's very logical in her thinking. She can see both sides of it and come to a conclusion that seems like it's the best for all parties.
So Zayden looks at Violet and she says it feels like he's trying to look through her.
Mm-hmm.
And there's these ice prickles, which we have had reference to tingling and prickling in that a few times when Zayden is around.
Mm-hmm.
So they prickle her scalp when he's like trying to piercing eyes or looking through her.
Exactly. So after all this, Zayden is kind of intrigued by the fact that Violet says that she's not going to tell and she agrees that you guys weren't doing anything wrong. And he says, well, we'll see if you keep your word. And if you do, then he'll owe her a favor, which is huge.
Yeah.
For somebody to owe you a favor in a death college.
Well, not only that, but the person who is the most likely, well, I'd say Jack's probably the most likely, yeah. The person who outside of those walls thinks they're going to go after her, like that person will owe you the favor. I mean, personally, I'd cash it in to live.
Same.
I'd just like to live.
I think I would like to live, please. Thank you.
But yeah, so he's like, yeah, I'll owe you a favor, which does become like a bargaining chip.
Right. So then they kind of finish talking or whatever, and Zayden leaves, and he was like, hey, get back to your bunk before your wing leader finds out. And Violet's like,
you're my wing leader. What? But I think this is such a good, again, first meeting by themselves. Not only do you see that Zayden's not all bad,
right?
Which again, I think we've kind of decided there is no quote good, quote bad,
right? Exactly.
But you see that he's not completely anti what Violet stands against.
Well, and he's not just this like killing machine either, yeah, that everybody kind of paints him to be.
He's a guy who cares about 41 people. He, you know, wants these people to survive, and also he's a goofy guy.
He's a little goofball.
Yeah, and I like that. It's the start of some witty banter, and yeah. I do think that because of Violet's intelligence, sometimes you'll see that there are characters who lack around her,
yeah,
because she is very bright.
Right.
And I think that Zayden is on her level of that wit, citing the code, knowing things, even reading people, which I think mm-hmm. is a different type of intelligence. Mm-hmm. Zayden is just seems to have the same kind of strength.
And I think that we're seeing too that both Zayden and Violet kind of live in the gray. Mm-hmm. They don't see things black and white necessarily. They both live in the gray.
I also think that they both seem to have the worldview of like what's best for
everybody.
Not just what's best for me or what's right. best based on the rules, but if I take in all of this information, what's best for everybody.
Exactly. I agree.
So the next few chapters are going to leave us pretty often on cliffhangers like this, where that, I mean, it is a nice ending on it.
Yeah.
It's just going to keep getting more and more interesting. So
yes.
This coming week, so we're going to have the same kind of deep dive. We decided to get together with our original book club girlies.
Hi, girls.
And do a little talking about some theories we might have.
Yeah. That's what started it all. So don't forget to tune in Thursday's deep dive if you want to hear a bunch of girls chit-chatting about some really cool theories or just the book in general. Who's our favorite? Who knows what'll come up? Then make sure you tune into Thursday's episodes. It'll be the next two deep dives that we do after this one.
Yeah. So we hope you guys enjoyed listening this week. Don't forget to rate our podcast wherever you guys listen to your podcast. That helps us out a ton. Also, don't forget to follow us on all of our social medias. We are at Scribe Squad Pod across all boards. We like interacting with you guys there.
Absolutely.
Also, if you guys have any questions, suggestions, comments, anything like that, please feel free to email us. Our email address is scribesquadpod@gmail.com. And we hope to hear from you guys.